Exodus chapter 12, please. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, please. If you have a bulletin, some of the material is in the bulletin, some of it is not. So we'll read some of that later in the sermon. I'm speaking today on this subject, no mere memorial. I'm going to talk about the Lord's Supper, but not directly. I'm going to talk about the Passover, which I'm assuming everyone in this room, if you're a Christian, you know the Passover meal came out of, the Lord's Supper came out of the Passover meal. Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, Jesus connects Passover, Lord's Supper, Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and the kingdom all together. So what I'm really going to do is talk about all of them, but we're going to focus on Passover this morning. We're having the Lord's Supper, and I, a long time ago, decided that two or three times a year I would speak just on Lord's Supper if I can. So that's what we're going to talk about indirectly this morning. Exodus chapter 12, please, and we'll start reading in verse 11. Let's all stand together, please. Exodus 12, verse 11. I did not announce this earlier. I need to announce it now, just in case. I'm speaking on the Pilgrim Psalms on Sunday nights. Psalm 124 will be tonight, if you want to read ahead. So, verse 11, please. And by the way, this is a long chapter. I'm just going to dive in the middle. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, this is actually describing the Passover that preceded the great deliverance from Egypt. But it's going to be the same in perpetuity. Verse 12. The Lord says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast or animal. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment." That's a very important phrase. Much of what happened was God showing the Egyptians their gods were false. He says, "I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token," oath in Hebrew, a sign or a token. "It shall be a token or a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Look at me, friends. This is the reason in 1 Corinthians 5, Jesus is called our Passover. Because this is about a deliverance from Egypt. But the great deliverance is from sin. And why does God not judge us? Because of the blood of Christ. That is our only hope. When he sees the blood, he passes over us. There's a lot more we could say. Well, in the Old Testament, they put the blood, and if you picture over here a door, we don't have a door closed, either one of the doors, basically they put the blood at the top of the door and on the sides of the door. I remember the first time I saw Gary Zimmerman do this. He says, if you think about it, and he did it with like black lights, you put blood at the top and it drips, and you put it on the two sides, you have the cross. You have the Lord passing over a family. He's going to judge the false gods of Egypt. Let's continue reading. Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a sign or a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a" what? "Memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall eat away, shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whatsoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel, meaning they're not a real believer. They would be excluded. Verse 16, and in the first day there shall be a holy convocation or gathering. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation or gathering. No manner of work shall be done in them save or except that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And you shall observe, keep the feast of the unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. I'm going to speak on no mere memorial. For any of you that have any interest or background, there are a lot of views of the Lord's Supper. The average Christian could not defend or explain anything they believe, so I'm going to talk about it. Our church does not hold that the Lord's Supper saves you or helps save you. We hold to a memorial view. You say, why? You'll see. That's what the Bible teaches. And it's also this. Hear me. Three great meals. Passover, Lord's Supper, Marriage Supper of the Lamb. They will all be memorials. They will be memorials of what only God can do. God delivered his people from Egypt. God delivers us from sin. And he delivers this world from all sin and establishes his kingdom. And we will have memorial meals for eternity, looking back on what God has done for us. It's a memorial. But no mere memorial. We'll come to that at the end. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Forgive the few in this room that are just playing. I don't know why we play. I don't know why we get fixated on ourselves. The one thing that will not happen is we'll have no cell phones in eternity. We won't be looking at ourselves and taking selfies. If we're believers, we'll start recognizing the only things that matter. That for reasons that cannot be explained, you in grace have saved us. You have made yourself known unto us. We know you because you first knew us. Thank you. Bless as we look at this text today and discuss the Passover and really the Lord's Supper and even to some degree the marriage supper of the Lamb. Three great memorial meals to your great actions on our behalf. Thank you. Bless as we meet together now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have conversations with more than one kind of persons. I know my favorite conversations, but I only have those with a couple people. Most conversations are like I had in the last couple days with a friend of mine named Jim Dewar. They start here, they go here, they go there, they go back here, they go, you know, I feel like I'm... We were in a conversation. It was a nice conversation. I called him and I said, Jim, I saw the video, my daughter sent it to me on Facebook, from Bob Jones University, I don't know if you've seen it, that has Jim Dewar's daughter, wife, and his wife's mother in the video talking about three generations that graduated from Bob Jones. Beautiful little video. Very, very nice. And I wanted to call him, so I called him, and we started talking, and I said, how does it feel to be around important people, Jim? And we laughed, and we had a nice conversation. I was trying to honor him and his family, and I thought it was beautiful. Then, I don't know why, somehow it went from that to where his mother-in-law lives, which is up by Door County area. It's up that direction. And then it went from that to back in the 19... Did you hear what I said about conversations? Then it went from that back to the 1970s. Jim and I met. Jim came here in 1980, but before he came here, teachers in the school, probably Pam, went all the way up there sometime as a group. Did you go, Jenny? Were you part of that, or was that before you?
It was before you. And they went up, you went. And it went up there and had a great time. And then it went from that to when he got married. By the way, Jim DeWar, my three young handsome sailors, guys, I am the guy to fix you up with your wife. But you're not ready yet, okay? Let's take a few years. I still remember we had a party going on here for a certain couple, and old Jim was all down in the mouth because his girlfriend had abandoned him. That girlfriend has now been married three or four times. It was good that he got abandoned. Jim was all poochy and crying and moping, and, you know, he was a little older. And I said, have you considered Marlene? You should go ask Marlene. Well, I'll just tell you this. He asked Marlene for the date, and the rest is 42 years of history. But here's the story. We're bouncing all over the world, and after talking to me about a group going up there, then he said, I got married up there. Now, here's my question for you, Mike. Do you remember you were in that wedding? Okay, you remember that. He doesn't remember he was in my wedding. He has no idea. He doesn't know if he was in his wedding. Some of you are thinking I'm kidding. I'm not. I showed him pictures of the guys that stood up with him. He didn't know any of them. He only had eyes for Pam. Anyhow, I better get back to my story. I'm doing what Jim does. Anyhow, friends, he said, yeah, I went up there. And then Jim, of course, has to list every person that went up there with him. It's like, how do you remember stuff like that? And then he said, he went down a list, including Mike was the best man, went down the whole list. He gets down towards the bottom, and he says, yeah, and the kindergarten teacher went. And I think he told me her name was Bonnie Cameron? Jenny? You look just exactly as I'm like, Bonnie who? Do you know why I tell that whole funny story? How's your memory? I'm going to say things, and then we're going to look at the text. Friend, memories are funny things. Memories fail. Can I have an amen? You say, I'm young, my memory is perfect. It is the weirdest thing when you talk to two people about the same event when you were a child, and you're like, I don't think you were there because my memories are different. Memories fail. Memories fade, sadly. When you mention Bonnie Cameron, Mike, vaguely I remember that name, but I have no idea who it was. Memories confuse things. Memories mix things up. Memories shorten. Sometimes you'll think you knew a person for 10 years, it was a year, or it was 10 years and you thought it was a year. Memories miss the point. And most of all, memories always forget the big questions, the whys of things. We're going to look at that this morning. Now, friends, you'll need to look around. Everything is going to be in Exodus 12 and 13, but it's a big chapter. So if you have your Bibles open, keep them open, please. Look back at verse 14. The Passover, what do we learn about the Passover? First of all, the Passover is, because it's still present tense, and I think we'll still have aspects of it in eternity, because we're going to be remembering what God has done for us. The Passover is a memorial. Verse 14, this day shall be unto you for a memorial. That is, so just the concept. It's a time when you remember what God had done. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but memorials are times you gather together to remember something. By the way, the very word for memorial, it comes from the same word as to remember. I mean, they're related concepts. Zikaron means a memorial or a remembrance. Now, chapter 13, verse 3, just the next chapter over, 13, verse 3. Moses said unto the people, Zikar, remember, it's related to the same word, this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place, there shall no leavened bread be eaten. So it's a memorial, we're to remember it. Chapter 13, verse 8, please. By the way, can I give you guys something that you might find interesting? You don't know the Hebrew word zakar. You don't know the Hebrew word zekaron. That's okay. But you do know a name that has the word remember in it. Zechariah. These are related terms. One who remembers the Lord. Yah. Same concept. Remembering. So the Passover was a memorial. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. It's a way of remembering because our memories fade. They fail. They confuse things. They mix things up. They tend to shorten things or lengthen things. They miss the point. They forget the why.
Verse 8, please. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for, again, you have that word, a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. But with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therein keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. The Passover was a memorial.
Friends, if you have the bulletin, just look at the backside. The same concept is found in 1 Corinthians 11, twice. It's found in the Gospels also. The Lord's Supper specifically focuses on the memorial. You're remembering. It's a time people come together, the church comes together to remember what Christ did for us. Passover was to remember the great deliverance from Egypt. And it was to remember the Lord's Supper, the great deliverance from sin. And in some ways, these are connected. 1 Corinthians, we'll just look at verse 24.
And when he, Jesus, had given thanks, he brake it and said, take heed, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. It's a memorial. It's a time of remembering. It's where a church gathers together to remember. Verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I mean, the whole point of Passover was a memorial. Let me say it a different way, friend. First, foremost, and foundational is that Passover and the Lord's Supper are memorials. Why? We tend to forget. We tend to lose the why. We tend to lose the significance.
Let's do the hard thing. 9/11. 2001. I'm going to ask the negative. Who was not alive at 9/11/2001? Raise your hand. You were not alive. Some of you are not sure if you were alive or not. Some of you are not alive this morning. Okay, thank you. Do you know what this means? In your experience, it is impossible for you to remember the events of that morning. You know what memorials are for? To remember. You say, but I wasn't there. By the way, no matter what, there's going to be things you weren't there for. For me, I like to remember big events. I like to remember big events in my life. I like to remember big events in America's history. I like to think about, I'm sorry, it's very childish of me. I like to think about those men who signed a document. Might not have all been July 4th. Might have been the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, but around that time, they signed a document. Have you heard of it? It's the reason you're sitting in these chairs today. And they swore and signed off on their sacred honor and their very lives. I like to think about that declaration thing. I like to think about people in my family. I didn't meet any of the people that fought in the revolution. I'm old. I like what Reagan said. He quoted Jefferson and he said, I just want you to know I didn't know Jefferson. I wasn't there in the Revolution. Frenchie was on a ship with John Paul Jones in the Revolutionary War. He is the real, real old chief sailors. Other guys are wimpy, but the real men, they fought on the wooden ships, made of iron them, right? Not quite, by the way. I like to remember World War II. Now, I wasn't there. Where did I learn about it from? My father and everybody I grew up with, because all those old men had fought in the war and had lost friends, family. That was my life. Can I say this? 9/11. Listen, every year after 9/11, not on that date, I have the high school Bible class go through video of 9/11. Tim, have you seen them yet? You saw them last year. This year you'll be on your senior trip. Do you know why? Do you know why? I want kids to remember what we have been through as a people. Do you know what the Passover was? Our memories fail, and we get too old. The hardest thing for me in life at this stage is when my father died, all of those memories died with him. I know a bunch of the stories, but listen, 2 weeks before he died, we're having his anniversary party, his 64th wedding anniversary, mom and dad's 85th birthday. I'm sitting in the room with my father. I know he's dying. I know he has weeks to live. And I ask the dumbest question, because I know our family's history. I just simply ask a simple question. Dad, did we have anybody who fought in World War I? He said, yeah, the old man. His father did. Look at me in the eyes. I'm the only one in my entire family that knows that. Because I asked Dad, I got a question. Who do I ask now? That whole generation's gone. By the way, friend, memorials. Building memorials. Passover for the Jewish people. After a while, all those people were gone. How do you remember what God had done? You have a what? A memorial. We have memorials, but I'm sorry, I'm not preaching against anything today. Memorial days in America are just three-day weekends to go someplace. You know it, I know it. They're a waste of time. I wish we'd just get rid of all holidays. If we're not going to use them for July 4th, or Memorial Day, or Veterans Day, get rid of them. Quit taking days off for driving. Memorial days, we tend to forget. We tend to lose the why. All right, we have a Passover. What's the point of this? We tend to lose the significance. For us, it's Christ's broken body. It's Christ's shed blood. In the account of Matthew, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of you of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament or New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Can I say this, friend? This morning we're going to take of the Lord's Supper. When you drink that cup, look at me, that cup doesn't become magic and become blood. It doesn't, nothing weird happens. It is a memorial for us to remember what Christ did for us nearly 2,000 years ago now. He died on the cross. He gave himself. He gave his life. His body was broken. His blood was shed for you and I so we could have forgiveness of sins. It's a memorial. It's a way of remembering. It is a memorial, of course. I had a meal this week with my friend from grade school. And by the way, if you don't think you haven't forgot anybody, meet somebody else that grew up with you. I'm not going to talk about Phil in a big way, but I just want to say this. I met with Phil again. Part of it just because of friendship. We grew up together. We went to school together from first grade. We didn't have kindergarten in those days. First grade all the way to 10th grade when he got out of school and joined the Marine Corps. He joined the Marine Corps. We were talking. Do you ever talk to people you've known? By the way, that means I have known Phil Scott for 60 years of my life, but here's the problem. From 1973 or so until last summer, I had seen him in totality 5 or 7 minutes. So we started going out, And Phil likes to talk about back in those days. My daughter wants to spend time with him. She wants to get all the stories about how evil I was in school. So I'll just confess to you ahead of time, I was evil in school. I got beaten regularly. You say, in a public school? I got beaten with a magic wand, and there's no magic there, okay? I got beaten with a paddle. I needed both. I stood against walls like these most of my grade school days. My nose was planted. I can still remember in certain places because if you look, there's like each block. As you got taller, you had to move from one line to the next. I remember that. You say, you must have been a bad kid. I was in trouble every day. We were talking one day about our teachers. Our first grade teacher was Mrs. Kenyon. I know nothing about Mrs. Kenyon except she wasn't a good teacher. And she taught for 1 year. After she had us, she ran from teaching. The next three teachers, and most of you haven't experienced this, were one-room schoolhouse teachers. Meaning they could take a group of kids from first grade to 12th grade and educate them. You say, how did they do that? They were dictators. You say, did you? Yeah, you could have opinions, but if you express them, you. And in those days, you would get a whooping. Mrs. Scott, she was one of those farm women. She could pick you up by the ear. I know that's child abuse. I needed some child abuse, to be honest with you. Lots of it. So we're going through the list. Mrs. Kenyon, the next three ladies were one-room schoolhouse teachers. Mrs. McDonald, she was one of those. Then there was Mrs. Scott. And then the next lady was Mrs. Medford. Mrs. Medford didn't start teaching until she was in her, I think, she taught early, got married, had children, and then went back to school, started teaching big time in her 50s, taught till nearly 80. Mrs. Medford would know if you were playing with your ear in the back of the room while she was looking this way. And she would call you out by name. She was the sweetest woman I ever met. But boy, she was rough in the classroom. So, do you ever do this? Do you all know what I'm doing? I'm remembering. That's the nature of memorial. So we're talking about teachers. Mrs. Kenyon, Mrs. McDonald, Mrs. Scott, Mrs. Medford, Mr. Carmody. He got cancer and halfway through, and another lady took over. Her name was Mrs. Miller. She did half of the year. And then sixth grade, and here's sixth grade. Hear me. From the day I had her in school until the last 6 months, I had no idea what her name was. Memories fail. He said, Mrs. Newberry. Yeah, that sounds right. I don't remember her name, but that sounds right. And then it was Mr. McCall, then it was Mr. Pullman, and then Mr. Smith was the grade school principal. You say, what are we doing? The Lord's Supper, Passover, is a memorial. It's a way of reminding us of what God has done for us. That's the nature of a memorial. Look, if you would, back to chapter 12, verse 11, please. 12, verse 11. Would you? We now have to ask a memorial of what? What exactly happened? We're going to look at several passages in chapter 12 and maybe in 13 in a moment. Let's look at chapter 12, verse 11. This is what we're remembering. By the way, can I say this? If you have Memorial Day, Memorial Day is a memory of, look, it's a memory of something, yes or no? The memorial is not significant. It's what you do to remember something back here. When we say the Lord's Supper, like the Passover, is a memorial, it's not the thing itself. It's a memorial of the thing. So number two, it's a memorial of a great deliverance. Friends, I'm sorry. I'm going to say this. I meant to say this early. Have you all noticed that I sit down when you sing? Do any of you have any idea why I sat down? Because I'm old? Do you know why? Because I don't want to see anybody playing. I want to worship, sing, without looking at people doing that stuff. The hardest thing in preaching is I'm talking about everything that matters in life, and some of us are bored. By the way, friend, if you don't have this memorial, it's because you have never experienced the deliverance. The whole point of a memory is something happened before you that has done something major for you. 1776, that's kind of a big one. Civil War, kind of a big one. World War II, kind of a big one. Without those major events, we don't exist, or we don't exist like we are now. Yes, we have memorials and Veterans Day to remember those things. Passover was a memory or a memorial of a great deliverance from Egypt. Well, let's read verse 11.
And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, meaning get yourself ready to get yourself out of Egypt. The original day. No leaven, by the way, was twofold. No sin, because leaven was always representing sin, but also you don't have time for the bread to rise, is the idea. Get yourself ready to get out of Egypt. He says, your shoes, have them on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for here is the great deliverance. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all of the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, and the blood shall be for you a token or a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. But a memorial of what? Of a great deliverance. Verse 24, please. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? Look at me. Why do you do this? Why do you honor this? Hey, friends, my family is very, very average. Nothing special. The difference between me and some people, I will never claim to be something I'm not. We're pretty normal people. But within my family, my mom and dad, in the broader family, we had certain, look at me, memorials. Memorial Day, 4th of July, Veterans Day, are you listening? In my family, those were days to take flowers to the place where those who had gone before, specifically military men, we did memorials. We didn't pray to our ancestors, none of that foolishness. We recognized we are here because of others before us. You say, what's going on here? Well, sooner or later, this generation of Jewish people were going to die. And we're going to be 10 generations, and the fathers are still having the memorial, and the kids are going to say, Dad, what are we doing? And he's supposed to say, well, I'm going to tell you the story of what God did. This morning, listen, listen, listen. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. What does this mean? Well, the meaning is not the taste of unleavened bread, which I don't like. It's not the grape juice, which I could do without. It's a memorial of a great deliverance where Jesus gave his life for you and me. His blood was shed. Yes, kind of a big deal. Kind of. Verse 27, please. What mean ye by this servants? That's in verse 26. Verse 27. That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptian and delivered our houses. Verse 41, same chapter. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord, every Jewish person that was a believer and probably some unbelievers, went out of the land of Egypt. verse 42. It is a night much to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is the ordinance of the Passover. A memorial, yes, a memorial of great deliverance.
Are we ready? Here's our problem with the Lord's Supper. A memorial, everybody look at me, a memorial assumes a couple of things. A memorial assumes that the memorial and the events are not the same. You're remembering something, yes? It also means that you, in some way, have partaken of those events. So, this morning we take the Lord's Supper. By the way, the Lord's Supper means nothing for most people. But it means everything. Not that it saves me, but it is a memorial of what Christ has done for us, and specifically for me. But it's, hear me, it's a memorial of the events. It's not the events. Roman Catholicism and other groups try to merge these, where the events and the memorial or the so-called sacrament is the same. No. This is a memorial of that. We are remembering what Christ does for us. As Jewish believers, they were to remember how God had delivered them from Egypt. The memorial and the event are separate. The memorial remembers the events, what God has done, the great deliverance. So memorial is not the actual events. It's not the thing itself. It is a memory or a remembrance of the deliverance. And what is it? Well, God passes over Egypt. And when he does so, he sees the blood. And God judges the gods of Egypt. And God brings the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And by the way, friend, we don't have time. I want to say this. If we spent today, I'm not going to challenge you because most of you don't get the challenge. If you started in Exodus and go to the end of the Old Testament and just found the references to God bringing his people out of Egypt, it's one of the greatest themes in the Bible because without this, there is no people of Israel. This is God's great deliverance. By the way, symbolizing even a greater deliverance, Christ's death on the cross, which delivers us from sin, death, and hell. Yes, God is bringing his children out. I'm going to read three verses. At the beginning of the Ten Commandments, the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. As a Christian, we begin with what Christ has done for us. There is no Christian life unless you're a Christian. And you become a Christian when you trust Christ and his shed blood for your sins. Deuteronomy 5:15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. You see, the Passover is a memorial. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. The Passover is a memorial of a great deliverance. Passover and the Lord's Supper is also a memorial of a great deliverance from sin. I'll read these quickly. Exodus 12, verse 26. It assumes as the children of Israel move forward, their own children will ask, what mean you by this service? Exodus 13, 14. It shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That you're able to say, this is a Passover memorial of what God and God alone did for us. What is the Lord's Supper? It's not magic. It's not a trick. It's not a gimmick. It's not hocus pocus. You don't say certain words. And no, every place, Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, 1 Corinthians 11, all talks about a memorial. It's a time when we look back of what Christ did for us. Not what we do, what he did for us. The memorial and the event are not the same. We have a memorial of those events. The Passover and the Lord's Supper was always for a believer. It wasn't the thing itself, but a memorial whereby the believer could remember what God had done for them. That's the nature of the Passover and the Lord's Supper. Number three, look at Exodus 12, verse 14. If you're reading a modern version, that's fine. I'm not going to talk about that. I might discuss that on Wednesday, but if you're reading a modern version, it's probably going to use a different word. Word means the same. It's the same Hebrew word. I prefer the old word for a specific reason, but in Exodus 12, it not only says this is the Passover is a memorial, it's a memorial of a great deliverance from Egypt, from sin, death, hell. Both of those are connected. Number three, it's a memorial the Lord himself ordained. Exodus 12, verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Chapter 12, verse 17. And you shall observe or keep the feast of the unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Simply this is a memorial the Lord himself ordained. Passover, Lord's Supper, and in the future the marriage supper, they're all things God himself ordained whereby we can remember, and I think in eternity we'll remember Passover, we'll remember the Lord's cross, death on the cross, and we'll remember all of God's intervention. That will be the conversation. Look at what God has done in the past for his people. Chapter 12, verse 42, please. 12:42. It is a night to be observed, to be much observed, unto the Lord for bringing them out of from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Verse 43. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. An ordinance is simply something God has ordained. Modern translations use statute, law, decree, all of that's fine. But that ordinance, it's beautiful because it's something God ordains. It comes from the Lord. Lastly, chapter 13, verse 10. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. Quickly, verse 14, please, of chapter 12. I have said, this is a memorial, Passover. By the way, everybody with me? Can I ask you a question? I'm going to confess something, and then I'll ask you a question. There's a place where I grew up in southwestern Illinois, Carrollton, Illinois. I didn't grow up there, but my mom is from there. Is this something that drives me bonkers? Right outside of Carrollton, north of Carrollton, on a little highway, there's a cemetery. And in that cemetery is a guy, I mean, most of them are just normal stones, but there's one guy on a horse. And folks, I have been driving past that since I was zero, riding with my parents or driving. Do you know what I have never done? I've never stopped because, and every time I see it, I think, I'll do it next time. Why do I want to see it? I want to find out what it's memorializing. Now, maybe you're one of those persons, you know, you can walk right past a statue. If it's there, I want to know what it's there for. Cliff, you and Judy and I and Jenny and some others, we went to the memorials in Springfield, if you remember. And wonderful, and it's even better now because they have developed even more stuff. The last time I was there, they had more stuff on Korea. They had a nice memorial on the Chosen Frozen, of which my father had the blessing to be part of. I want to go there because I want to know what are we remembering here? But there's a, so let's just step forward. Passover is a memorial. So is the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial of a great deliverance, what God has done. It's not the deliverance. It's a memorial of the deliverance. It's a memorial that God himself ordained. Look at verse 14 quickly. I'll just mention this. Verse 14. In this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for how long? Forever. Verse 17, please. Same chapter, 17. And you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day and your generations by an ordinance forever. Verse 24, chapter 12. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. My friends, this is a memorial. Passover, Lord's Supper. It's a memorial of a great deliverance, what God has done through his Son. It is a memorial that God himself ordains that we keep. It is, number four, a memorial to be observed forever. I'm not going to try to overstep my boundaries, but I want everyone to look at me. I believe in eternity and the millennium. We will look back. Look at me, because we're not. Would you believe you're not going to be the only one there? There's going to be people throughout history, the church from the church age, believers before the church, Jewish believers and Gentiles, and we will remember what God did when he delivered his people out of Egypt. It will be part of that eternal celebration. Look at what God did. We will do the Lord's Supper. Look at what God did with his through his Son. Even at the very end, when he comes just to catch us away at the rapture, but when he comes to establish his kingdom, we will forever remember when he intervened and established a righteous kingdom on earth, and he will rule and reign forever and ever. We're going to remember. We're going to remember. So, it's something to be observed forever. Deliverance from Egypt, deliverance from sin and death, and total deliverance in the establishment of the Messiah's rule and reign on earth. Friends, there's a restaurant. Tim, you need to take me there. You don't remind me. We go there, and I love the restaurant called Papa Marco's. It's down off of Grand Avenue. Pretty close to downtown. I love it. Middle Eastern food. You see, you like it. I like everything. That's my problem. I go there and I get everything except the French fries because I can't have French fries. But I'm telling you what, the grape leaves, oh, the whole thing. But every time I drive in, everybody look at me. Hey, does anybody know what's out front? There's a memorial out front. You know why there's a memorial out front? Because the owner, the husband, was in Iraq twice. And I don't know if it was his first or second tour, but his Humvee was blown up. And people he was in his Humvee with died. By the way, I've read that memorial half a dozen times. It always moves me because here's a man. By the way, he didn't play religion games. He built that himself. He had it purchased himself. And it cost a lot of money. He did it to what? Remember the men he fought with that died in Iraq. One of them is named, by the way, I've said it before, there's certain names you should know. Yazzie. That only comes from one ethnicity, folks. It's not Polish, it's not Irish, it's not English. That's Navajo. So that means there was a Native American Navajo man that died in Iraq. Most people don't care, but every time I go there, I want to look at that memorial and try to remember, these are the people that made my freedom possible. You say, what's the Lord's Supper? Can I say this? Hey, I got people here just drifting off into outer space. I question your salvation. Has Christ delivered you? If he has, there is no such thing as a mere memorial. Like, but if he hasn't, this is just religion. You can get religion any place you want. But let me say this, friend. The faith is always about remembering what God has done for us. And this is the cross. We don't reinterpret the cross. Jesus doesn't die again. He died once and for all and forever, but we remember him as a church in the Lord's Supper. Yes. And yes, when I go to Papa Marco's, and if you haven't been there, ask Pastor Kowalk how to get there. Great food, great people, but that memorial moves me. Because here was a man that took it serious enough, look at me, to remember, and everybody that goes there has the opportunity to see, these are the men, some men that died in Iraq in an IED explosion. He fought with them.
Look back at verse 27, please. I have said the Passover is a memorial like the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial of a great deliverance. It's not the great deliverance. It's a memorial of the great deliverance. Can I say this in Chicago English? Duh. It is a memorial that God himself ordained, both of them. It is a memorial to be done forever. And lastly, and this is kind of funny to me, verse 27 says, and then you shall say, it is the Lord's sacrifice. It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And it says, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. Psalm 118 says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Last night, I talked to a friend of mine, and friend of some people in this room, you still know him. He is your husband. I don't know where he went, but you can tell him he is my second favorite Tejano, and no, your husband's not first. He's number three. My favorite Tejano is Racalita. My second one is Tony. I talked to Tony. Tony used to be in this church till the year 2000, my first 4 years, one of our deacons. We were reminiscing. Tony just celebrated, are you listening? His 55th anniversary. And I was just chatting on the phone. And by the way, how do you do when you start remembering? You know what you do? Remembrance does all kinds of things to you. You say, what should your emotions be when you partake of the Lord's Supper? I don't know. You can weep. You can pray. You can be thankful. Last night, I started talking to Tony. And I said, you know, Tony, God's been good to you, brother. You got saved because of Rachel. You've been married 55 years. I love to see the whole family. He's got a whole group. Grandchildren, bisnieto, he has great-grandchildren. They're all gathered around. Oh, Tony's as happy as he's happy as can be. I said, hasn't God been good to you? He gave you Racalita. He saved you. He gave you this great family. And I said, and you were a chief warrant officer in the United States Army, a little Tejano from San Antonio. And you know what? By the time I was talking to him and he was talking to me, you know what we were doing? We were tickled from the goodness of God. How should we react? I don't know. Sometimes I weep when I take the Lord's Supper. Sometimes I think. Sometimes I reflect. And sometimes you just get tickled because it's no mere memorial. The people bowed their heads and thank God. It is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Let's pray, please, and prepare for the Lord's Supper. Gentlemen, you may come forward.